May be seated in the presence of the Lord. How many believe that God is here? Amen. How many guys believe when two or three are gathered in His name, there I am in the very midst. He is here, church. He is here. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Today, so we've been in our series, The Hymns of Summer. How many guys enjoying summer so far? You know, you guys are having a good summer. Yeah, nice and hot outside, right? And we get tropical depressions and everything else. That's how you know we are in summer. Amen. It lets us know. But today, we will be looking at the hymn, Jesus Paid It All, as you might have figured out by now. And so, I love this hymn because it's a reminder. You know, as much as we try to earn our own salvation, as much as we try to do enough good things, we always fall short. And that Jesus, He paid it all. He paid it all for you. He paid it all for myself. He paid it all. There's nothing else that we can add to our salvation. Amen. And so we're going to just maybe be reminded of this morning, but I think it's good. It was written by a woman named Elvina Mabel Hall. Now, this is the third hymn that we did, and they're all written by women, so the men really need to, you know, start writing some hymns and start getting into the presence of God and writing hymns. And it's interesting, right? It's called Hymns, but it's written by her. Okay, never mind. All right, bad pastor joke. All right, anyway, so it was written by Elvina Mabel Hull in 1865. She was born in 1818. Now, this woman, not much is written about her, but what we do know is that she had five kids. So anybody knows what more than three kids are like, you kind of experience what five kids are. But sadly, this woman lost two of her kids whenever they were infants, young kids. And unfortunately, that was not the end of her sorrow or her grief. At the age of 40 years old, she also lost her husband. So this woman has experienced a tremendous amount of death and sorrow and grief in her life, and perhaps many of you can relate to that, what that's like. And so she wrote the hymn about 6 years after she lost her husband, Jesus Paid It All. Now, what might she have experienced up to this point in her life? She would have experienced the abolition movement where they were trying to put away slavery and try to do away with that. She would have experienced, she was from Virginia, so she would have seen Virginia succeed from the Union. She would have seen, you know, the defeat of the Confederate soldiers and everything and the surrender. And she would have seen the reuniting of Virginia too, back to the Union. So she lived in this life, and so with this landscape of civil war and this landscape of trying to get rid of slavery and all these things. So this is the backdrop, if you will, of how she wrote this song or what inspired her during this time. And so she writes it on a fly leaf in a hymnal. And so how many guys remember the old hymnals in the church where you would pull out your hymnal and you'd open up to such and such and you would read that hymnal? And so anyway, she wrote this song in one of those hymnals. And she showed the pastor, and the pastor was just so delighted. And so he connects her with the organist. And so they begin to write and compose the song as we know it today. And so the first verse, it says this. It says, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. And it sounds like such a smooth text, right? It's so smooth and flowy. But if you're looking at the words, it's pretty hardcore, and it really cuts you to the core. It says, you know what? You're weak. Happy Father's Day. You're weak. You know, no man likes to be told that they're weak. Nobody likes to be told that your strength is small. Like whenever I go to a gym, I don't like flex my arms like this in the mirror. I'm like, man, Ted, your strength is small. You know, that's not the goal. You know, whenever you go to a gym, the goal is to get bigger, right? But the text, the hymn is saying, no, your strength is small. And if that wasn't enough, if that wasn't confrontational enough, she says, child of weakness. In other words, you're weak like a child. Your strength is not only small, but you're weak like a child. don't know about you, but that's fighting words, right? You're not going to say that I'm a child of weakness and I'm weak and all these different things. You know, I'm a man, right? And I'm pretty strong, right? We like to think that way anyway. We like to think that we're pretty strong on our own strength. But is what she's saying, is there any truth to what she's saying? Are we really weak? Are we really weak? And just is our strength small? Well, if we're comparing it to the powers of darkness, we would have to say, yes, our strength is very small. If we were comparing it to the powers of Jesus, we would say, absolutely, our strength is small. Our powers are weak. We are weak in comparison. So what she is saying is based from the Bible, and I want to look at, first of all, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. It says this, "But he said to me," so this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and so he is quoting something from that Jesus spoke to him. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." So here, Paul is quoting Jesus, and Jesus is saying, yes, you're weak. Turn to your neighbor and look at him square in the eyes and say, you're weak. You're weak. Nobody likes to be called that, right? On Father's Day. But here it is in the text. But here it is. You see this amazing contrast. Anytime that you see human weakness, you also see God's strength. It says, my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. He continues, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That is what this hymn is trying to say. In your moments of weakness, whenever you feel like, God, I just can't go on. God, I just cannot press on. I am weak. God, I don't know if I can overcome this. God, I'm dealing with so much. God, my mind is bombarding. God, I am weak. In your weakness, he is made strong. His strength is perfected in your weakness. In other words, his strength can show off. His strength shows up at just the right time, says, I am able. I am God. I am able to do something in your life. Amen. So in our weakness, he is made strong. I like what the psalmist David would write in Psalm 73, 26. He says, my flesh and my heart may fail. Anybody ever been there before? Your heart and your flesh, they fail. You don't even have the faith to go on. But it says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Also like what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 40, 29. It says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Amen. To him who has no might, he increases strength. So look at that last part of that hymn, find in me thine all in all. Find in Jesus all that you need. Find in him the strength that you need to carry on. In your weakness, find in him that which you need to persevere, that which you need to make it to the end. Find in him your all in all. And so throughout the Bible, we see examples of human weakness. We see the Israelites, they had moments of weakness whenever they were in slavery. Or even whenever they were facing Goliath, they were weak, they were shuddering with fear. They're like, man, this man Goliath is threatening us. He's going to take us out. There were moments of weakness. But then in moments of weakness, God raises up a David with some faith and confronts that Goliath and says, child of weakness, I am made strong through your weakness. David was not even considered by his father to be worthy whenever they came to anoint him for king. But yet it was David through weakness. Through David's weakness, God raises up David and confronts Goliath, the Israelites' enemy. Because we don't understand it, right? God says, I can use this weakness to demonstrate my power. And he's not the only example. We look at Samson. Samson had a moment of weakness with Delilah. You know, he fell into lust. He fell into sin. But yet at the very end, even whenever he had his eyes gouged out and he's forced to grind in heavy labor, the Lord uses his weakness to destroy more Philistines than he had ever destroyed in his lifetime. In his weakness, he is made strong. And that's story after story after story like that in the Bible. In our weakness, there's a perfect opportunity for God to do something great and something awesome in our lives. Amen? Amen. The hymn continues. It says, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. So we begin to change or shift, if you will, from our weakness to really the situation of our heart. Where he said, he mentions two things regarding the heart. He says, the leper's spots, in other words, leprosy. If you had leprosy in that day, in that age, you were excommunicated. You were sent outside the camp. And anyone who would come in contact with you, you would have to yell, unclean, unclean, unclean. Now, some experts would say it wasn't because the disease itself was contagious. But if they would come in contact with them, they were considered morally unclean. And they had deserved this plague. They had deserved this disease because of some sin in their life. And so if they would come in contact with these lepers, that they too would become morally unclean. Then the hymn continues. It talks about this heart of stone. It says, can change the leper's spots and melt this heart of stone. So the leper spots deals with our uncleanness. But then, what is this idea about melting this heart of stone? Because whenever we're not self, whenever the Word of God is not penetrating our hearts, whenever we have become hardened to the things of God, we have a stony heart. We have a heart of stone. How many of you ever had a heart of stone before you came to Christ? Before you came to Christ, your heart was not soft to the things of God. The Word of God came, it bounced off because the ground was not fertile. And so the seeds could not grow deep. Your heart was hardened and your heart was stony. But you know what it takes to melt stone? It takes some intense heat. Some intense heat. I'm talking about 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit to 2,400 degrees Fahrenheit. That is extreme heat. And it begins to melt that heart of stone. It begins to melt that stone and make it pliable, make it movable, make it fluid. And the way that our hearts are melted, the way that our stony hearts are melted is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That fire that comes and burns on the inside of us begins to melt away that hardness, begins to melt away that callousness, begins to melt away all those things in our lives and makes that ground pliable so that the seed of the Word of God can be sown and produce much fruit. Amen? So this hymn is looking at our spots, our leper spots, our uncleanness. The hymn also looks at our heart of stone and says, man, we're unclean. And we're unclean because we have been passed on this sinful nature from Adam. Because Adam sinned, all man is born with this sinful nature. And so we're unclean by nature. We're unclean. And we are naturally have this heart of stone where we're not, we're not accepting the things of God. God has to become and melt. God has to start the fire. God has to burn those things within us. It is Him and Him alone. Amen. And so Ezekiel kind of makes a reference to the stony heart. Ezekiel 11:19, he says, and I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. I'm going to remove the hardness of your hearts. I'm going to cause your heart to accept the Word of God where you can produce much fruit. How many guys want that in your life? Amen. Continuing with the hymn, it says, for nothing good have I. So now we've already talked about our weakness. We talked about the fact that we were lepers or we are unclean and that we have stony hearts. Now we're beginning to look at the solution. So what's the fix for this? How do we get out of this mess that we are in? For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's lamb. I mean, you guys know, we sung about it, we said it, that there is no other way that we're going to become clean. There is no other way that we can obtain salvation but through the blood of the Lamb, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of what He did on the cross, because He paid it all, we are made clean. That stony heart, that unclean life that you have, you are made clean. He paid it all. It's nothing that we can do. It's nothing that we have to offer. Nothing. You can't do enough good to outweigh the bad in your life. Anybody ever tried to do that before? You're going to frustrate yourself. To try to do enough good things to outweigh the bad in your life, it will never happen. Thankfully, Jesus says, you know what? I paid it all. It is through his blood. It's through Calvary. Amen. And so continuing with the hymn, it says, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died, my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Now, whenever we stand before the throne of God, that will be our only claim, is that Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid for my sins. Look what he says. He says, Jesus died, my soul to save. You won't better stand before the Lord and say, God, but look how successful I was as a businessman. God, look at what I did. God, look at how many meals I gave to the homeless. God, look at how many good things I did. The only claim that we're going to have before the living God, who will be our judge, will be the blood of the righteous lamb. But Jesus died for me, God. But Jesus covers me. Jesus stood in the gap for me. Jesus paid the price when I should have paid that price. That will be our only claim whenever we stand before him. The blood of Jesus. And he will look at us and he will see his son and he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is the only way that we get in. It's through Jesus. Amen. And when before the throne I stand in him complete. You know, we look for all kinds of things in this life to complete us. We look for relationships to make us whole. We look for hobbies or whatever it may be to complete us, to make us feel whole, to make us feel perfect. But it says that you're going to stand complete in him on that day. Whenever you're standing before God, you're going to be complete. Jesus gives you everything that you need for salvation. Complete. You're going to lack nothing. You're going to stand before God lacking nothing. You're going to stand complete in him. My lips shall still repeat. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. It's nothing that we've done. It's simply his grace. He has graced us. And we are called to believe. That's pretty much it. We believe in him that he is the Son of God. And then we believe in him that he is able to cleanse us of our sins. We believe that he died on the cross. We believe that he rose again. But ultimately, it is God who has done this work. It is God who causes the heart to believe to begin with. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him into repentance. And so it's the work of God drawing you. It's the work of God that opens your eyes so that you can believe. It is God, and it's only God. God's work of salvation. Jesus paid it all. Let's look at the chorus as we conclude. It says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. We talked about, you know, our uncleanness. Jesus paid it all. He is all sufficient. And that's one thing I see in this hymn is the all sufficiency of Christ Jesus. You know, our stony heart, he paid it all. He is all sufficient. Whenever we stand before God, he is our righteousness. He is all sufficient. He is all that we need. The sufficiency of Christ is what we want to leave with this morning, that Christ is sufficient in all things. Amen. He is sufficient. Yes. In our weakness, whenever we feel like we cannot go on, Jesus is sufficient. Yes. He is enough. He paid it all. And as we close out this hymn, I have a video that I want to share with you guys. And I want you to keep in mind those words, Jesus is sufficient. Because I believe this video portrays it like I cannot. I hope this video will speak to you. It has spoken to me. But just allow these words and what he is saying to really speak into your heart.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin, the sexual urges? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you gonna do? I'm gonna shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin and sexual temptation. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own merit, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Jesus is enough. He paid it all for you. He paid it all on the cross so that you don't have to carry your guilt, your shame anymore. He paid it all. Stop trying to fix yourself. Stop trying to be good enough and accept what he has done for you. Give it. Give him your sin. Give him your struggle. Give him that thing which is hindering your walk with him. I would ask that you would just respond in whatever way that you would. If you want to come down to the altar and just maybe get things right with God, perhaps you've just been trying on your own strength and you just need to surrender it to the Lord. Jesus paid it all. You've been hanging on to some depression. Jesus paid it all. Give it to him. Give him your depression. You've been hanging on to whatever it is. Give it to him this morning. Jesus paid it all. And as the band will come and we're going to sing that verse again. We're going to sing that Jesus paid it all. I want you just to give it all into his hands because he is the one who paid it all. He paid the price for you so you can walk free. He took the place of Barabbas and we were the Barabbas. We deserve death. We deserve the penalty of death. But yet he stood in our place and he died for us. He paid it all so that you can be free this morning. Give it to him this morning, whatever it is. Give it to him. Hold on to it no longer. As we close out with this last song, in Jesus' name.
Jesus paid it all. washed white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Come on, praise the one.
And oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead.
All to him.
All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all.
All to him, yeah.
All to him I owe. And sin he washed it white as snow.
Today, if you're a person in the room and you've never given your life to Christ, you've always tried to maybe come for a while, or maybe you've been in a place where, like, if I just get it right, then I can come to Christ. You'll never get it right. Because of the sin nature, the Bible says that all of our, even whenever we try to do good, it's just like filthy rags before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And today you might have walked into the building and you would know, because God's just been speaking to you throughout the whole sermon, and that heart of stone that you might have had, or that sin of leprosy, that sin that you've had in your life, and you're like, I just want to get rid of it, and I've been wanting to get rid of it, but I don't know how to get rid of it. And today God is just saying, turn your life over to me. And you've never done that before. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hands to heaven if that's you in the room? And you need God to forgive you. The Bible says clearly all throughout the book of Romans, it says we've all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That there's no one without sin. There's no one without someone that has done something wrong. And the problem is that sin separates you from your Father God, who cares about you and loves you and wants to write your name in his book of life. And today, if that's you, would you just lift your hand to heaven and say, I'm ready. That heart of stone, I wanted that to be removed. I want to have, like Ezekiel says, a heart of flesh. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want my sins to be forgiven. If that's you, would you just lift your hands really high to the heaven? We're not going to make you get out of the seat. We're just going to pray a prayer, believing that God will heal us. Not only will he hear us, he will forgive us. We're all like Barabbas. Stop trying to fix yourself and just let the power of God fix you this morning. If your hands are lifted, would you just repeat this prayer, just believing in your heart. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, it says you will be saved. It means you'll be his kid. You've been looking for a father. God is a perfect father. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Even if you do, he won't. What you're signing up for today is to be his kid. God, you see our hands raised. Would you just pray with me? Say, dear Jesus, my hands raised to the heavens. And today I'm asking for forgiveness of my sins. I know that I have done wrong before you. I know that I have hurt your heart. And today I'm asking you that you would get rid of those sins in my life. Those things that I've done wrong, I ask forgiveness for. And today, I want to be your kid. Take away the emptiness. Fill it with your joy. Take away the anger. Fill it with your love. God, today I'm asking for your salvation in my life. Save me and make me into a new person. I want you to be my king and my Lord. My life is not my own. Today, I'm asking for you to be my Father. In Jesus' name. Today, if that's you, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I just want to pray a prayer over you. God, I pray for those. God, the first time today that they have asked you to be the Lord and their Savior, God, we are thankful because the Bible says that the angels of heaven throw a party. God, we can't see it, but God, we know that even now when one sinner comes home, God, you rejoice. God, when it would have been Barabbas, you would have rejoiced. If it's us, God, you rejoice. God, we are thankful today for new life in this building, Lord God. God, that you have changed hearts and that you have changed lives. And today, God, we pray that we would know that we know that we know because of what you did, not because of what we have done, but because of what you have did, you have paid it all. And all to you, God, we owe. God, as we walk out those doors today, God, that you would give us new life. And God, that we would grow. God, that it wouldn't just be a prayer that we said, but God, it would be a life that we lead. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Can we just sing that again together as a congregation, just the chorus?
Praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead.
All of the saints.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the
changing, and it's not us, God, it's your power, God, that only you can take the sin of a sinner, and only you can take the heart of stone out of us. And so, God, today we thank you for reminding us of your goodness and your faithfulness. And God, today we walk out those doors afresh and anew, God, praising you, our King and our Savior, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Join us Wednesdays, Grow in the Lord at 6:30. No matter what age you are, come and find us this 6:30. You're going to love it. In Jesus' name, hug someone's neck, tell them that you love them, and give them a word of encouragement in Jesus' name.